The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everybody? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I am your host, Ricky Scapparo, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. And it's Tuesday, June 4th, 2024. And we want to welcome you to tonight's program. Listen, if you're new, first time joining us, somebody invited you in, whatever the case may be, let us know in the comment section below that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. We want to welcome all of our podcast listeners at this time, Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast from. Listen, we got a great program lined up for you tonight. Before we get started, do me a favor, smash that like button, hit that subscribe button, hit that bell notification, and you're going to be squared away on YouTube and Rumble and Facebook. We want to welcome all of our Facebook audience. We are back on Facebook, at least limited. I will not share everything on Facebook just because of the censorship, but there are certain messages I feel like I can share there, this being one of them. But just know for future reference that not everything that we put out there is going to be on Facebook, but we do welcome our Facebook audience as well. It's good to have you back here. Listen, if you don't have the app today, I want to encourage you today, download our free app. It's available on Apple and Android devices. You can get it at your Play Store. Once you download it, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go. And you're going to get every podcast and every headline right at your fingertips. Guys, I want to talk about tonight. Remember, you hear me quote this all the time. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes, "The thing that which was is the thing that shall be, for there is no new thing under the sun." Persecution against Christianity is nothing new. It's been going on for thousands of years. It's been going on since Christ came in the flesh the first time and he walked on the earth. And since the birth of the New Testament church, the early apostles, the early church, persecution has been here. Okay? And we know according to scripture that it's only going to intensify as we get closer to the second appearing of Jesus Christ. So what I want to talk about today is, have you ever, think about this for a second. You will really notice this in the realm of politics. You will notice that you'll get all these politicians that will get up and they will say a prayer or they'll give a speech and they'll invoke the name of God. They'll say God, they'll reference God. But what they won't reference, now there are some that will, there's a remnant that will, but most will not reference the name of Jesus. Why? Why will they not reference that name? Because, again, this is one of the proofs that I use. When somebody asks me, how do you know that Christ is truly the Mashiach, the Messiah? How do you truly know that he is the Son of God? How do you truly know that he is the way, the truth, and the life? Listen, now we could go different angles with that, and we could prove it historically speaking, and we could go to the earliest manuscripts and the scriptures and all this stuff. But one of the ways that I've always found intriguing that you can notice and see for yourself that is evident truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, and there's no other name given under heaven into men in which we must be saved, simply for the fact that no other name, come on, stirs up the kingdom of hell and darkness like the name of Jesus. Come on. Why? Because the Bible says that there is no other name given under heaven unto men in which we must be saved. The Bible tells us that Jesus, the name of Yeshua, the name of Jesus, has been given above every name that is named in heaven and earth, the sea, the dry land. It is above every name. All things that are and consist is by him and through him, and nothing was made that was not made through him. That's how I know. So have you ever noticed people, I'm telling you, demons will foam at the mouth. People will manifest when the name of Jesus is used and proclaimed in the public square. Now, I live in the South, in the southern part of the United States, right around in the Atlanta, Georgia metroplex, right around in that region. So I don't see this as prevalent where I live as in other places in the United States, howbeit the West Coast. Here's a great example. I'm going to show you one example, and we're just getting warmed up, guys. We've got a lot to cover tonight. So, again, please bear with us. Invite people in here. If you're watching by Facebook, invite them into the broadcast. I think they're going to enjoy this one. Look at this. One city in California has been recently accused of banning chaplains from praying in Jesus' name. What? Come on, they were praying in what name? Somebody talk to me. Jesus' name. Come on, type Jesus in the chat. Why? Because that is the name. Come on, that stirs up devils. The Bible says even demons tremble and fear and believe. Come on, you got a lot of people that don't believe in Jesus, but I'm going to tell you, hell does, Satan does, the demons do, the principalities do. And I'm telling you, those principalities and demons are on display in Washington all the time. A California city has been accused of wrongfully ordering two chaplains to stop praying in the name of Jesus Christ, which a legal group argues violates their religious freedom. Can you believe the audacity and the nerve of this city in California called, I believe this is how you pronounce, Carlsbad City. Carlsbad City, because the First Liberty Institute sent a letter of complaint to the Carlsbad City Council on Tuesday regarding the city manager Scott Chadwick allegedly ordering fire chaplain Denny Cooper and police chaplain J.C. Cooper to stop praying in Jesus' name. Wow. According to the letter, Chadwick told the chaplains of a new standard in separate conversations in April. This is I'm gonna pull this up so you can see this, because you need to see this. Quote, this is a new standard. So they don't have a problem with chaplains. They have a problem in chaplains citing the name of Jesus. And according to this letter, Chadwick told these chaplains that this was, quote, the new standard. All right, here we go. Let's read this. Because the chaplains cannot in good conscience erase the name of Jesus from their prayers, this order deprives first responders of the solace and spiritual strength that the chaplain's volunteer ministry has provided, look at this, for nearly two decades. Somebody say the winds of change have blown into America. Therefore, we urge the city council to return to its longstanding practice of inviting the chaplains to pray freely in accordance with their sincere religious beliefs. FLI Council Kayla Tony, who authored the letter, told the Christian Post via email that the Institute became aware of the situation through a former client who we helped with a different religious liberty issue. Tony took issue with the city manager's reported argument that praying in Jesus' name constituted harassment of non-Christians and created a hostile environment. I want to say that again. Praying in the name of Jesus, according to the city manager's report, the report from the city manager, constitutes, listen to this, harassment of non-Christians. And it creates a hostile work environment. Stop. I wonder if that would be the case if I worked at, and I'm just going to throw a place out, a well-known retail center, and I'm on my lunch break, and I'm of a different faith than Christianity. Let's say I'm a Muslim. Let's say I'm a Hindu. Let's say I'm a Mormon. I wonder if this would apply to them. Do you think that if a Muslim shared his faith, shared portions of the Quran and his faith in Muhammad and Allah, do you think that they would tell him that he could no longer use the name of Muhammad? or invoke the name of Allah, I wonder what they would say if someone complained about that. I'm pretty sure chances are that would go over like a lead balloon. Why? Because again, I want you to think about this today. There has to be power in the name of Jesus for this to be such a threat. Are you hearing me today? Come on, this is why you need to invite your lost family and friends to listen to this. This will open their eyes, guys. Tony went on to say that she believes that while, quote, we do see increasingly hostility towards people of faith in the U.S., the laws were changing in a positive direction. Here's another story. A Florida elementary school caves into atheist groups' demands and dissolves a Christian club. Now, while this is going on, meanwhile, the Satanic Temple is now going into schools and they are spreading their propaganda. They're spreading their material on Satanism. And because of loopholes in the laws, they have to allow this. But yet, a Florida elementary school has dissolved its Fellowship of Christian Athletes Club after the Freedom From Religion Foundation, which is an atheist activist group, pressured them to do so. Hamilton County School District, again, this is in Florida, had allowed the North Central Florida Fellowship of Christian Athletes to begin a new club at Hamilton Elementary, an organization that says it exists to promote the constitutional principle of separation of church and of state and church, which is the FFRF. The elementary school had announced on Facebook in late January that it was organizing a new huddle at the school. A little more than a week later, this atheist organization confronted the district about the group. Quote, the district's assistant superintendent informed the FFRF complaint that the Fellowship of Christian Athletes is an official student-led organization at Hamilton Elementary. The response made it clear that the school was allowing a, quote, religious club for children at an elementary school during the school day. On the 29th of March, Samantha F. Lawrence, who is a legal fellow for FFRF, sent a letter to the school district requesting they shut the group down. Shut it down. Students have the First Amendment right to be free from religious indoctrination in their public schools. While the Equal Access Act protects students' right to form religious clubs in secondary schools, it does not apply to elementary schools. Elementary students are too young to truly run a club entirely on their own initiative with no input from school staff or outside adults. Again, this is their claims. Lawrence went on to demand an investigation be made into the club, adding, quote, any claims that the Hamilton Elementary FCA club is a student-led are at best naive and at worst dishonest. Wow. Unbelievable. Listen to this. Quote, while these statements, by March, a lawyer representing the school district confirmed to Lawrence that there was an investigation into the club, and they found there was a small group of fifth grade students participating in such a club at the school. Quote, while these same students will be eligible to participate in FCA on the campus of Hamilton County High School in a few short months as sixth graders, in an effort to avoid any perception that such a gathering on the campus of Hamilton Elementary is being organized, promoted, or endorsed by the district or its employees, the club has been dispersed, or AKA shut down. And of course, the atheist organization applauded the decision and said it was so thankful that the district was willing to listen to reason. On the side of religious freedom, the nonprofit legal group First Liberty Institute disagrees with the school's decision to give in to the atheist threats. Listen to this statement. In fact, I'll pull it up here so you can see it for yourself. Here's what it says. Quote, banning students from having a religious club at a school while permitting other secular clubs like the Satanic Temple, one of them, is a travesty that teaches children their faith is unwelcome and must be hidden. I want to say this again, and I want to highlight this for a reason. I want this to stick in your memory because I'm going somewhere with this program tonight. Here it is. Ready? It teaches children, this ruling, to ban this club, it teaches children that their faith is unwelcome and must be hidden. Here's the two words, unwelcome and hidden. You'll see why I'm going there in just a minute. First Liberty Institute Deputy General Counsel Justin Butterfield told the Christian Post. So this is absolutely disgusting, but it is no surprise because and as long as these school districts, these superintendents, these principals, the staff, all of these groups, as long as they keep caving into the demands of these atheist organizations, it's only going to strengthen them and their resolve, and they'll continue to keep doing this. And you're going to see this more and more and more. Now, did y'all see this story? This was unbelievable. A teen recently told his graduating class that Jesus is your answer. Uh-oh, he used the name of Jesus. Wonder what the consequences will be. Well, it says, because he told his graduating class that Jesus is your answer, quote, he is now facing consequences. A Northern Kentucky high school student's graduation speech sparked debate over the weekend after he urged his classmates to seek Jesus Christ as your answer for the way, the truth, and the life. He did not receive his diploma. They didn't give him his diploma because he said that. And he was asked to meet with his school principal because he added the religious message to his pre-approved speech, according to videos he posted on TikTok. This is such a heinous crime, yet how many pro organizations that are anti-Semitic, I'm not even going to say because I want to keep this program up, how many of them got up during their speeches and made these comments? I saw all kinds of videos from different universities where these students got up and they turned it into a political statement. They turned it into a protest. But yet they didn't get their diploma evoked from them. They didn't get the consequences pulled against them. Gee, again, friends, wake up. Wake up. According to Micah Price, who said online that, quote, I was told beforehand I was not allowed to bring up Christ. He said, I did anyways. Come on, somebody. He graduated May 24th from the Campbell County High School in Alexandria, about 30 minutes south of Cincinnati. The high school, which was about 1,500 students, draws from a predominantly suburban and rural part of the county. Price said in his speech, quote, class, before another word is to leave my mouth, I must give the honor, the praise, and the glory to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who in his very words tells us he is the light, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Goodness sake, no wonder the devils and hell was manifested. Listen what that young man said right there. He said, I'm going to give glory and honor and praise to the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Then he even took it further and said that he was the light, the way, the truth, and the life. My friends, that right there is why all these devils from hell manifested like they did. He went on to say to class, anyone in the audience today, I'm here to tell you that if you don't have any of those things in your life, and can't seem to find the answer, then my Lord and Savior is your answer. Can you imagine? I could imagine being there in that audience and people just freaking out, losing their minds because of what this young man said. After the graduation at Truist Arena in Northern Kentucky University, the young man said an assistant principal told him he'd have to speak to the district school board about what he did because he went off script during the speech. Heaven forbid. I went against school policy, school rules. I went against that because I serve a higher power, because I serve Christ. Listen to the boldness, my friend. Wow. This kid's got more boldness than half, come on, of the Christians that I know. He said, quote, I do no one's bidding but God, he said in a TikTok on Sunday. So if anyone's in the wrong, I am. I deserve to get punished. Look, in other words, he's saying, I'll face the consequences. I'll reap what I sowed. I proclaimed the name of Jesus. I knew persecution was going to come because of that name. I knew that there was going to be consequences because of that name, but I will accept that. Now, there is a video of this, and I don't want to play it because, again, this is streaming on Facebook, and I want to keep it up. And I know how they are, and they get goofy about copyright stuff. So, again, you go find the video of him saying this. He went on to say he isn't sure if it's normal to have not received a diploma days after graduation. One of the schools and community educator director for the district did not respond to a phone call and email questions by the inquirer. However, Superintendent Shelley Wilson told Local 12 in a statement, Price was permitted to thank his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ at the beginning of the speech, but he added statements telling classmates to seek God. All speakers were told that going off their submitted speech or any unplanned choice at graduation may have repercussions as they would at any school function. Okay, but why am I not seeing those repercussions at other school districts when they go off script and they turn their graduation speech into a political hot button or they turn it into a protest? I'm just saying, I don't see them facing consequences. So here are some of the responses. I want to read some of this. There's good and bad. Let's read this. Quote, this is an amazing young man who had courage to step out and do what most adults are scared to do. He will be rewarded for sharing the good news of Jesus, one Facebook commenter said. And here's another comment. Quote, send your kids to a religious school if you want them to freely talk about your God and all that. This is a public school. I, for one, do not want to listen to the ramblings of any religion at my son's graduation. I know dang well that if this student was Muslim and was praying, y'all would lose your freaking minds, another posted. Yeah, right. No, I don't think so. I don't think people would lose their mind. I think people wouldn't say anything, and I don't think this would even be an issue at all. In other comments, people urge the public to attend the next Campbell County Board of Education meeting at 6 p.m. June 17th at the Alexandria Education Center to stand in support of Price. On Monday, Price posted an update to TikTok and said he will get his diploma and he no longer has to speak to the board about the incident. Now, all right, so you remember at the beginning of this, just a few minutes ago, when I was sharing with you the Florida school that caved into atheist demands and the school buckled and they shut down this Christian club. I want to take you back to this article because remember I told you to remember a certain statement that was made. All right, here is the statement. Remember, here's what it was said here. Banning students from having a religious club at a school while permitting other secular clubs is a travesty that, here it is, teaches children their faith is unwelcome and must be hidden. Y'all remember me telling you to remember this? Here's why I want to, this is why I had you remember this. A recent survey that was conducted in the United Kingdom revealed that nearly 40% of Christians, professed Christians in the United Kingdom, look at this, prefer not to tell people about their faith. Now, why is there a growing number of people that doesn't want to reveal their faith? They don't want to share it publicly. They want to keep it hidden. The answer is because the rising level of hostility towards Christianity and especially those who bear the name of Jesus Christ. Listen, it's a known fact that the darker it gets out there, if you're really a Christian, the more brighter you become. Let me say that again. The darker it gets out there, the more brighter we should become. But the problem is, there's a lot of Christians, they can't handle the pressure. They buckle under persecution. They buckle under the peer pressure from other students, other coworkers, their family members. Why? Remember, Jesus said that. He said, we talked about this last night on our Monday night broadcast. I talked about the sower and the seed. Some fell on thorns, some fell on stones, some fell on The birds came because it fell on shallow ground, and the birds came and swallowed up the seed, and some fell on good soil and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. Those, listen, many people receive the word with joy, but then when the cares of life, when persecution arises for the word's sake, then they cave, they buckle, and they don't bear fruit anymore. So here's what they do. They don't want to express Jesus. They don't want to express their faith. They don't want people to know that they are a believer in Jesus Christ. Why? Because, and again, there's multi factors here. One, they don't want to be persecuted for it. All right, and what does that mean? That's like an umbrella term, and it means persecution can be that they're not liked, there's hostility towards them, or watch this, it can go on a more deeper level that they feel they can lose their job because their boss finds out that they're a Christian. And oh, I know that would never happen, right? People say, well, that doesn't really happen in America and all this. Really? Guys, I can tell you for a fact, when I used to work a secular job outside of ministry years and years ago, from 2000 all the way up to 2008, I launched a ministry 2010. So, in those 8 to 10 years there, when I was working in construction, I worked in restaurant industry, I worked in different industries, retail. I can tell you right now that I did not let my light be hidden under a bushel. I was letting everybody knew. I don't believe in this undercover Christianity stuff. Everybody knew, from the boss down to my fellow employee, that I was a believer in Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you right now, I had bosses and supervisors that frowned upon me, made comments, laughed at me, mocked me, scoffed me, persecuted me because I was a believer in Jesus Christ. Now, they didn't come outright and fire me and terminate me because they knew it was illegal, but there was ways they could work around and catch me so that I could lose my job. Are you hearing me? This is a real stuff here. So these are some of the reasons. Again, they are ousted. People are completely blacklisted from their family. Their family doesn't want to have anything to do with them because of the name of Jesus, because they're a Christian, because they have such faith. Now, again, this doesn't apply to lukewarm, passive Christians, because if nobody knows you're a Christian and nobody knows you're a believer, then you won't be persecuted because you look like the world. You act like the world. You're no different. You are dwelling in darkness and not light. Now, I mean, come on, let me give you some scripture for this, because people, when you start talking about stuff like this, people get all bent out of shape and they get worked up and they think I'm making up stuff. So let me tell you what Jesus said about it in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. He said, listen to this. He's talking to all of us. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It is then good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. So here Jesus says, you are salt of the earth. Again, what does salt do? It seasons, it flavors, but salt also promotes healing. So wherever we go, we should leave people thirsty for the knowledge of God, the kingdom of God, the things of God. But our words should also have the ability to heal people, to mend people. We're giving them words of life, words of Christ. So, but he says here, but if you lose that flavor, you're good for nothing but to be trampled under my men. Will just trample over you because you're not an influence. You're not influential in your workplace. You're not influential in your family. You're not influential in your community or nothing. Then he goes down here to verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. I said it cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. But yet there's a growing number of professed believers that are, they don't want to be salt. They don't want to be light. They don't want to be a city set upon a hill. They don't want to be a lampstand. Why? Because they don't like the consequences that comes with them professing Christ. And you know what this is doing, friends? It's separating the sheep from the goats and the wheats from the tares. I'm just being honest with you. This is what's happening. And this is nothing new. I want to take you back to, let's go all the way back to the book of Acts. I want to show you that this is nothing new. And I want to show you how the early church responded to this in comparison to today in 2024. Ready? Here we go. There's so much good stuff in this, guys. I hope you're enjoying this as much as I am. I promise you, especially this part, you're going to really enjoy this. Watch this. Now, this is Peter and John speaking. And it says, now, as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees all came upon them. All right, here we go. Acts chapter 4. Here, this is Peter and John. They are preaching the gospel in the temple. It says, and now as they spoke to the people, the priest, the captain of the temple, and the Sadducees came upon them, being greatly disturbed that they taught the people and preached in whose name? Jesus, the resurrection from the dead. Because they were preaching and teaching Jesus, the resurrection of the dead, it was causing a great disturbance among the city and among the religious leaders. It's amazing to me. You would think that, listen, the last people that would be disturbed is the religious community, but listen, it's just that. The religious community many times despises Jesus because they want a form of godliness. They don't want the Jesus of the Bible and the fullness of that. They want to have a social club. They want to have a religious meeting and gathering and program that can be manipulated, can be conducted, can be organized and controlled by them and their leadership. But when the real presence of God shows up, the real Jesus shows up, the real preaching of the gospel shows up, signs, wonders, miracles, casting out devils, healing the sick, raising the dead, then we will see who's quote unquote religious or who is really hungry for a move of God. But watch this. And they laid hands on them and put them in custody. They arrested them until the next day, for it was already evening. However, many of those who heard the word believed, and the number of men came to be about 5,000. I'm going to ask you a question. If you could preach in an open square in your city, your workplace, wherever it is, and you could get the attention of 5,000 people and get them saved and born again, would you be willing to trade that for a night in jail? Oh, come on. I want to hear the result. Listen, we can all say, oh yeah, I would do that, Brother Ricky. But would you really? Would you be willing to be incarcerated in order for 5,000 individuals to come to the knowledge of the truth and accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? Verse 5, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, elders, and scribes, as well as Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered together at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in their midst, they asked, now listen to this, look at the question they asked them, by what power or by what name have you done this? Oh, it's all about that name, church. What power and what name have you done this? And then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name, here it is, of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. And then he makes this statement in verse 12, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given unto men by which we must be saved. He took it to the next level. Not only did he name the name of Jesus, but he's telling them they cannot be saved through the Torah. They can't be saved through the law of Moses. Animal sacrifices ain't going to do it anymore. All this stuff, they said it's through Jesus Christ and him only. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated and untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. One of my favorite verses in the whole Bible is that verse right there. And seeing the man who had been healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. Listen to this. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, "What are we going to do to these men? For indeed, that a notable miracle has been done through them is evident to all who dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it." Here it is. So that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them that from now on they speak to no man in this name. What name? Come on, talk to me. The name of Jesus. How are they gonna prevent it? Severely threaten them. You're gonna be fined. You're gonna be incarcerated. You're gonna spend prison. You could even go into death row. You will be dealt with and silenced if you keep naming the name of Jesus. Look, verse 18. So they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter, now listen to the response of Peter and John, friends. But Peter and John answered and said to them, "Whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than God, you judge." They're saying the same thing they said before. They said this once before they got put in jail, and now they're out of jail and they're being threatened again. And then they respond again, "Whether it's right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you judge." For listen to this. I love this. "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." Oh, can I take a little side trail here just for a moment? This is why, listen, I love when I get some religious individual that I get confronted with and they find out that I'm saved, water baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, have a prayer language, and believe in the gifts of the Spirit of God, and even been used by God to operate in these gifts before. Oh, they foam at the mouth. They don't like it. They get irate, and they begin to mock me. They begin to scoff me. They begin to say I'm demon-possessed. They begin to say that it's hogwash, that it's gibberish, that it's all this nonsense. You know what I say to them? I just laugh at them and say, "Listen, if you've come by today to tell me that God doesn't heal, you're too late. If you try to tell me that God doesn't, come on, baptize in the Holy Ghost, you're too late. If you try to tell me that he's not pouring out his spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, you're too late." This is one of the things that the Lord gave me years and years ago. I told somebody, because I had some individual, and I'm not going to say what faith he was of, but there, it's really taught predominantly in this denomination. But he tried to tell me over and over again that speaking in tongues is of the devil and it's not of God. And I looked him in his beady little eyes and I said, "So-and-so, I served the devil freely for 23 years of my life. And I never once spoke in tongues one time. But the moment that I said yes to Christ, got born again, got baptized in water in Jesus' name, and asked for everything that he had. And the Bible says, if you being evil and being a father know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" I read that one day. I believed that I could receive it, and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I began to open my mouth and gave the Spirit utterance and began to speak a language I I had never learned nor never was taught. And you're going to tell me that for 23 years serving the devil openly and freely, I never had that experience one time and spoke with a new language. But the moment that I raise up my hands and ask God for everything he's got, he is going to give me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're going to tell me that that's the devil. Come on, get out of here with that nonsense. The devil is a liar. And I love, again, I'm telling you, I love what Peter and John and how they respond to these statements, these threats. And this is how you and I need to respond today. We're going to have to make up our mind, because persecution is not going anywhere. Hostility towards Christ, towards our faith, towards the name of Jesus, it's not going away. It's only going to increase, because the world out there is getting darker. More people are falling away from God. More people are professing that they're not religious. More people are not part of organized religions anymore. They don't go to church anymore. They don't read their Bible anymore. You've got professed Christians that don't believe in hell. They don't believe in heaven. They don't believe Jesus is the only way to heaven. They don't believe in eternity in itself. There's all kinds of nonsense out there that's circulating through false doctrines and ignorance and the lack thereof and all this. And this is why I'm telling you today, I've come by to tell you today that we have got to heed the words of Christ that he told us in the book of Matthew, where he says in Matthew 5, you've got to keep being the salt, keep being the light, keep being the lampstand, and keep being the city that's set upon the hill. I want to tell you like this. You know what else he said? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who's in heaven. But let's read the rest of it. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Friends, listen, there is no such thing as undercover Christianity. This is a weapon of intimidation that is being used by Satan to keep your mouth shut. Well, Brother Ricky, what if they're hostile towards me? So what? They did it to our brothers and sisters in the early church. They didn't get it against the apostles. Jesus said, do you think that a student is going to be above the master if they threaten the master of the house? How much more are they going to threaten the students? Listen, even in the book of Revelation, when we go into the tribulation period, you can read in Revelation 12. I'm going to read this to you. Revelation 12, 10 through 11. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come, for the accuser of our brethren, that's Satan, who accused them before our God day and night, has been cast down. Now listen to verse 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now, I know that's a mouthful. Let me break down verse 11 for you. There is three components to that scripture. They overcome Satan by what? The blood of the Lamb. Listen, you are saved by the blood of Jesus through faith in his name. Number two, and it didn't say or, it said and. That's a conclusion. That's an addition to. You overcome him by the blood of the Lamb. That's the first step. You get saved, you get born again. But then it says, and by the word of their testimony. And then number three, and they did not love their lives unto death. I'm going to ask you a question, friends. If you've really been born again and really been radically saved and transformed by the blood of Jesus and by the power of Christ, how can you keep that to yourself? How can you keep that under a bushel? How can you suppress that? How can you be ashamed of Jesus after all that he's done for you? Oh, do I got anybody that can testify today on this podcast? Can I give you the microphone and you can get up here and testify and say, I was once in darkness, but now I'm in light. I was once blind, but now I see. I was once bound by drugs and by alcohol and by pornography and by all kinds of addictions of the flesh and of the mind and the emotions. I was bound by depression and oppression and suicidal thoughts. I was bound by all kinds of these things. But one day, come on, Jesus Christ came and set me free and set my mind in the right place. He loosed the bonds of darkness from me. I stepped out of darkness into his glorious light. Listen, is there anybody that can testify today? Maybe, listen, I don't know. Maybe your life is so squeaky clean, and you were born on an altar of a church, and you've never experienced anything bad. You've never sinned in your life, and you've never struggled with addictions or any kind of temptations or whatever. And you've just got the squeakiest clean. Well, if that's you, just keep your halo on your head and sit in the corner while the rest of us who's been through some stuff, who's held the hand of the devil and walked through darkness for many years and know what it's like to be in captivity to his devices until we were set free by no other name. We didn't get set free by through Buddhism. We didn't get set free through Confucius. We didn't get set free from Islam. We didn't get set free from Mormonism. We didn't get set free from Jehovah's Witnesses. We got set free from, come on, the power and the blood and the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Friends, if that's you, I believe it's a sin. And the scripture tells us, if you will not confess him before men, you will stand before him one day and he will not confess you before his Father. Let me make this real simple for you. You know what he's going to say to you? I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. Listen, many of you, this is a fact. Many of you, the reason why you struggle with the boldness to proclaim the name of Jesus is because you need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You need the endowment of power, Acts chapter 2. When you go to Acts chapter 1, the Bible says that when Christ was assembled with them, he commanded them to not depart from Jerusalem until they received the promise of the Father. And he told them that when, this is Acts chapter 1, verse 8, he said, when you receive this power and the Holy Ghost has come upon you, he said, you shall be witnesses to me and Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Let me put that today in our vernacular. This is what this means. You want boldness? Listen, I've said this before. You got Peter pre-Holy Ghost, pre-baptism of the Holy Ghost. He was the guy who denied Christ three times. He went and hid. He went back to his old life, and Jesus had to come and rescue him again and pull him back out of that. But then, Acts chapter 2, Peter gets baptized in the Holy Ghost up in the upper room. The same guy who denied him pre-Holy Ghost, the same Peter was at post-Holy Ghost, raises his voice, preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ, the uncompromised gospel of Jesus Christ. 3,000 or 5,000 souls were added to the church. Then 3,000 souls were added to the church. He tells them a message of repentance, turn from this perverse and wicked generation and be saved. He is opening his mouth and proclaiming with boldness. What is the key? The key, listen, my friend, is the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because God intends for us to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, not so we can have show and tell in the church, not so that we can have a charismatic conference. No, that's not the point. That's not why we need the baptism of the Holy Ghost. God wants to empower us with the baptism of the Holy Ghost so that he can make us a witness unto the world, to your community, to your proximity, to your workplace, to your family, and wherever you go, you will have the boldness of a lion to open your mouth and declare there is no other name under heaven unto men in which we must be saved, but the name of Jesus. Come on, do I got anybody that can agree with that statement tonight? Listen, this is what I want to do tonight. If you're watching, you're listening, and this has rattled your cage. Listen, you love God. This is not a question of whether you love God or you're born again. I believe there's people that they love God. They're born again. They're in the kingdom of God. They're saved. All this checks out, but maybe you struggle with boldness. You struggle with opening your mouth and declaring the name of Jesus. You struggle with witnessing and testifying to others and sharing the gospel to them. Listen, I don't know where you're standing. I don't know if you've never, listen, this is what I want to do. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I want you to begin to press in, ask, seek, and knock that you may receive this precious gift. Again, Jesus said, I desire to give those who ask. I will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that the Heavenly Father will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. The same faith, friend, that it takes to receive salvation is the same faith that it takes to receive this precious gift that was poured out, Acts chapter 2, and is still being poured out, Joel chapter 2, on sons, daughters, men, women, and all flesh in Jesus' name. Come on. I want you to receive it today. Lift your hands where you're at. I dare you to lift your hands. I dare you present yourself in a posture to receive. Why? Because he's waiting on you. He says, draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. The book of Hebrews said, those who come to God must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So come on, let's pray right now. I'm going to pray for you. Heavenly Father, you see the hands that are lifted right now. You see the hearts that are in posture that are ready to receive. You see the faith that's presented on this broadcast. Those that are watching, those that are listening, those they're known in heaven. Their names that are in the Lamb's Book of Life, but they have this weakness. They struggle with boldness. They struggle with fear. They struggle with anxiety. They struggle with the fear of hostility. Persecution of what's going to happen to them at their workplace, if how their family's going to respond to them, how their community, their friends. Lord, I pray tonight that those that are in a posture to receive, I pray that you would begin to pour out the Holy Ghost right now, even in this broadcast. I know we're not in a brick and mortar church, but God is not restrained by walls, nor barriers, nor time. If you're listening to this by the rebroadcast of this or the initial release of this message, it doesn't matter. God will respond according to your faith. Father, you see the hands lifted. You see the hearts ready to receive. I pray in Jesus' name that, Father, that the Holy Ghost would begin to fall upon each and every one of them as they begin to open their mouth, as they begin to lift their hands to heaven. They open their mouth. They give the Spirit utterance. And Lord, I pray that they be filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of their prayer language, in which they speak a language in which they have never learned. Lord, I believe that the fire of God is falling on people even now in this broadcast. They can feel it from the crown of their head to the soles of their feet. It's evident in from their fingers to their toes. Lord, it is the fire of the Lord that has fallen upon them. John said, lo, I baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who comes after me shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and fire. Father, so in Jesus' name, we receive it tonight. We receive it tonight. Friends, listen, just keep pressing in. Keep praying, because I want to show you something. I want to read something while you guys are still praying. Okay, just keep receiving. But I felt like I was going to be done with this, but I want to go down here. After these men were threatened, they were told, stop preaching in the name of Jesus. Stop doing this stuff. I want to show you this. The Bible says in Acts chapter 4, when they were released, after they were severely threatened, they went to their own companies and reported all the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God. Look at that. They didn't cower down. They didn't shut down the meetings. They didn't throw in the towel. They testified of their threats, and they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, "Lord, you are God who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and their rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ." Verse 27, listen to this. "For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you've anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the peoples of Israel were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look onto their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak with your word." I want to say it again. They weren't crying to God in heaven that God would shut the mouths of the persecutors. They didn't cry out to God that he would shield them and deliver them from their threats. No, they cried out to God and said, "God, hear their threats and give us boldness that we may speak your word." Look at verse 30. "By stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus." Verse 31. This is right here where you're at, friend. "And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost." Again, yes. You listen, just because you got filled once don't mean you can't get filled again. So here they are. They all been filled with the Holy Ghost, Acts chapter 2. But they begin to pray. They begin to ask God for power to be bold and to proclaim him with signs, wonders, and miracles. And the Bible says the whole place was shaken, and where in which they were assembled together, they were all filled again with the Holy Ghost. And they begin to speak the word of God with boldness. Come on. Do you see that today? Father, in the name of Jesus, there is many that are watching and listening today. Father, their mission field is their family. Their mission field is their workplace. Their mission field is their community, their neighborhood, their friends, whatever that is. And Father, they are asking for boldness. They're not asking to cower away. They're not asking to hide somewhere. They're not asking to go undercover. They're saying, "Father, give me the boldness that I need. Give me the strength that I need. Lord, give me the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Give me the gifts of the Spirit. Help me to do the works of Christ. Help me to heal the sick. Help me to lay hands on the sick. Help me to deliver those that are demon oppressed. Help me to do, may there be signs, wonders, and miracles that follow the preaching of the gospel when I open my mouth, wherever I take the gospel with me." Father, I pray that over every individual under the sound of my voice, may you receive that power tonight. May you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost tonight. May you receive that boldness in which you need to proclaim the gospel of the good news of Jesus Christ. Guys, I don't know who this is for. This doesn't happen very often, but at the end of that prayer, I got a check in my spirit. Now, I don't know who this is for. This may be for one. I don't even hear this. It's not an individual. It's not one individual. I'm seeing it's either a couple ministry or it's a family ministry. I want to say that again. It's either a couple or it's a family, but your outreach is in the streets. It's not, you're not reaching people behind a microphone like Brother Ricky. You're not in a church behind a pulpit. Your ministry is street ministry. That's what I'm hearing. It's either a couple, a married couple, or maybe a family. Maybe it's a married couple with like the sons or the daughters or sons and daughters. That's what I'm hearing. And you're a street ministry. You do a street ministry. I don't know what city you're in. The Lord's not giving me that or permitting me to hear that or to get that revelation. But I do know that I see you asking for emboldenment of power and endowment of power. You're desiring the gifts of the Spirit. And you're asking that the Lord would be with you and show up and show out in the streets. when you're witnessing and proclaiming Jesus Christ. I come by tonight. I'm telling you, this doesn't happen very often, but I'm being obedient tonight. The Lord hears your prayers. And when you, the next time, I don't know when it's going to be. It could be this weekend. It could be this week. It could be tonight. It could be tomorrow. The next time you step out into that mission field, wherever that is, in the streets and the community, and you begin to proclaim the name of Jesus Christ, there's going to be a fresh anointing on you and a more powerful influence and a level of boldness that you did not possess before, if you're willing to receive it tonight. Watch God move in signs, wonders, and miracles, and it's not for you. Even though you're asking for this, it's not so that you can be glorified, but so that the name of Jesus can be glorified and that souls can come into the kingdom. Come on. I don't know who that was for tonight, but receive it in Jesus' name. Listen, I pray that this message has been a blessing to you. If it has, and you've been blessed, guys, we want you to, number one, keep up with our ministry. Again, do that by downloading our free app. It's available on Apple. It's available on Android. Get it today. Download it. Hit yes to push notifications. You can get it to your hands today. This is how you're going to keep up with our ministry. If our ministry blesses you, encourages you, equips you, informs you, all of the above, then we want you to pray about becoming a monthly partner. Through your generous support of our partners, we're able to continue to do what we do week after week after week. And you can become a monthly partner. It's real easy to do. Just download the app today. That's the easiest way to do. Go down where it says donate, or you can give through the website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. And either way you do that, when you go to the page, you'll be able to give through Venmo, Cash App, a major credit card, PayPal, or any of those. Or you can give through check or money order. And you can make it out to End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391. That's Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, we appreciate, we love you. All of our partners, our prayer warriors, our intercessors, we pray that the Lord bless you richly and just continue to move effectively in your life. We love the testimonies. You guys sending me the letters, the emails, the messages. I'm so blessed by them. Some of these, you're going to see responses. If you send me your email, if you send me a letter and you put your email down there, it makes it so much easier for me to respond to you. It's a lot quicker. So please don't forget to do that. We're going to sign off for tonight. We will not be here tomorrow. That's Wednesday the 5th. We typically don't broadcast on Wednesday nights, but we, Lord willing, be back on June the 6th, Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central, 8 p.m. Eastern, right here, same time, same place, same channel. We'll have a message. We'll have a program. We don't know what we're going to talk about yet, but we're going to pray about that. We'll see what the Lord would have for us to share. So until we see you guys on Thursday night, I pray the Lord bless you, keep you, and may his countenance shine upon you. We'll see you in a couple days.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.